You're listening to highlights from One Planet Podcast's interview with Dr. Ludovic Slimak, paleoanthropologist and author of The Naked Neanderthal, A New Understanding of the Human Creature. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
I don't know if we can learn something. I don't want to be too dark. In a way, The Naked Neanderthal is a sad book. Like The Last Neanderthal, the next book, is also The Last Sapiens. So when I tell you there's no catastrophic event and humans don't die in catastrophic events, so I give some hope. I tell you, okay, we won't disappear because we will have a climate change. We will adapt. The question is not there. That's an important question in the relation to our children. And the question is, what is the message and what are the words we give to our children? Actually, all the media are talking all days about climate change and about CO2. Why? It's an important issue, but it's not the main point. The main point is that one. Okay, we have CO2, and so we are going to change all our car for electric car. Okay, but now, the problem we have is a problem of hyper-industrialization. It's not the problem of CO2. We see all the biodiversity everywhere is collapsing. And it's actually, it's not collapsing because of a question of temperatures. It's collapsing because of our own way to interact with the natural world. And I told you, as sapiens, we are super efficient. And actually, in the past, we were sapiens in front of Neanderthals and Neanderthal collapsed. And now we are sapiens against our environments and we see all our environments are collapsing. All the biodiversity is going to die and is dying in front of our eyes. In 40 years, we lose an incredibly percentage, maybe 30% of all the biodiversity on the planet. That's super serious. And it's not a question of CO2. It's not a question of temperatures. It's only a part. It's a more general question, and this general question is a question of our hyper-efficiency and hyper-industrialization. If we respond to this challenge, the challenge of climate change, which is not the challenge of climate change, but the climate of the collapse of biodiversity, if we challenge that by more industries, we are going to change all our cars and make them electric. So the response of the problem of hyper-industrialization is more industrialization. And doing so, we see the problems, but we are not really able to put the good words on it, and we are not able to act in the good directions, not because we are evil, not because we are bad, but because we are so efficient that we are not able to understand the world differently. And so I think if there's a message of Neanderthal and of the naked Neanderthal to us sapiens, is that in the past there were different ways to be humans on Earth. The other ways to be humans collapsed on themselves, not because they were inferior, but because their own sensibility to be humans were far less in harmony with the natural world. There is no fatality. I told you that there are two layers. There's a layer of the nature, what we are, how we see the world, and there's a layer of the cultures. But the culture can distort our nature. So it's not because we are super efficient. You know, when I told you, we see that even the very early Homo sapiens are super standardized. The standardization is the art of army. You know, what you call when you wear something when you are military, it's a uniform. You call that a uniform because you want that every person in your army is the same and move at 1 millimeter in the same way altogether. Why? Because doing so, we become super efficient and then we will destroy our enemies. So it's something which is absolutely martial, which is the art of war. This is something which is biologically in us, Homo sapiens. So that's why I said it's so important that people must understand that this book is not a book about Neanderthal. It's a book about us. It's a book where I want to put words to warn humans. Actually, they are only sapiens. And saying there are something in us which is dangerous. We are not evil, but there's something in us which is so efficient that induced the collapse of every other humans, that induced the collapse of all our natural environments on the planet, and that induced after that the collapse of sapiens on himself. And that's why this book is so important, and that's why this book It's not talking to persons that are in love with archaeology, Paleolithic, Neanderthal. Okay, fair enough. If you like that, you will love this book. But what is important is, well, it's not fair from me, but I have used Neanderthal like a tool to understand what Earth we are on Earth. But I only understood it very progressively. I had no plan saying, I understand what is sapiens, I'm going to put what, while I was writing this book. But I realized that there were a certain image of us that was emerging and that was very important to share. That could be even the question of the Yeti, of some mythical creatures. This is fascinating for us because this is another intelligence. And now we created AI and we are fascinated by what we see because we can discuss with an AI, and we have clear, it's very clearly that the AI understand our concepts and respond with our own concepts. The next generation will be that discussing with AI, we just won't be really able to make sure if we are discussing with a human or with a machine. That's the second step, maybe a few years from now. And few months or few years after that, but very likely a short moment, we will have developed whatever you can say it's not intelligence, there are only algorithms, mathematics, whatever. Okay, fair enough. The problem is not there. The problem is it's very clear that we are confronted to something that is not our own intelligence, that is outside of us, and we can discuss many things with that. And in the future, at a certain moment, we will ask questions and the answer will be so smart that maybe we won't be able to understand all the subtleties that the AI will provide us. And that's a dangerous moment. So that's the topic of my book, How Humans Die. And I explain you that contrary to everything you can read everywhere, it's very clear, based on 30 years of research on humanity that has been vanished, that humans never die due to specific events, to catastrophic events. So we won't die by climate change. We won't die even by nuclear wars. Even if it's a total nuclear war, we will survive that. The nature will be, we will be in a very different world, but we will survive. But now, if I told you that the moment of the extinction of Neanderthal, that's a precise moment when we had these two conscience, these two intelligences that suddenly met again. And in that moment, the population, that not the population which is inferior, but the population for which the children feel that they are less efficient, induce the collapse of all their societies. Now, if our children, in a few years from now, will be on their computers, on their phones, and will begin to chat with so smart intelligences that are clearly not them, that's the moment when our populations can collapse on itself. That systematically in the history, that's both for societies, you know, the moment where Western meet Americas, but the moment when the society collapsed, they not collapse, there were incredible great civilizations. But I think that a certain moment, whatever there have been genocide, it's a very ugly story. But at the end, what induced the collapse of these societies is the contact and the understanding that our values are not universal and there's something else different and more efficient. At the end, you can say whatever you want to your children. Your children are sponges. They have a look and they said, this is something different. Your values are no longer good enough for the future. And this is what we are confronted with AI. It's going to be super efficient. It's a tool. As long as it's a tool, it's a fantastic tool. But at a certain moment, this technology will evolve and we begin to become incredibly smart and smarter than we are. And at this moment, our children could simply reject everything that makes us humans and our society at this moment, and maybe that our humanity could collapse on itself. The tradition, it's like money. Till you continue to believe that your coin has a value, it has a value. At the second that you think that the coin has no value, it just has no value. It's not made out of gold. So it has no value. And that same thing for human traditions. As long as your children believe that your tradition is a good way, is a way to be human on earth, your children continue to be like you and will respect your tradition, and your society, your civilization will continue. But at the same time, all our traditions are just simply super irrational. Here I have clothes. It's not because it's warm. We are not naked because it's not in our traditions. So all that is just the way to have clothes, the way to walk, the way to discuss, the way to interact. All that is irrational. It's our traditions. So these traditions, I will give them to my children. Just they will see me and they reproduce what the parents are, what the adults are. But at the second, when your children, they see overpopulations, and these overpopulations don't share anything with you culturally and in the way to understand the world. At the second, your children will no longer believe in your own irrational traditions, and your society, in a second, will collapse. And that's what happened in Australia, in Africa, in all the Americas, the contact of the two populations. It's not because the Western arrived and they had a better technology. They have guns and powders while the local population had bow and arrow. It's not the question of technical superiority, but that the moment, the simple moment when the two populations see each other and the other populations understand, the children understand that you like it or you don't like it, but they are more efficient. Then the children don't believe any longer in your own traditions and you collapse on yourself in a whisper. I think what is very, very important is that for the young generations, they hear every day and everywhere that this is the end of our world because of many things, and particularly about the question of climate change. It's very important to warn about the future, but what we are doing here, it's a vision, it's an eschatological vision. You know, it's like if it's Christian value where we see that we must face at a certain moment to the end of the world. And then it became just turning in circle in the mind of the children and the young generations. And we are telling them, this world, this is the end. You are going to be facing, okay, sorry, we let you that planet like that, but this is for you, that's the end of the world. We must not say that to young generations. If we do that, if we say that to young generations, they, by the way, they will collapse on themselves. They won't have, they will be confronted to very high challenge, and they need to have energy and desires and hope. And that's hope that we must give to young generations. And we must tell them, first of all, we don't know anything about the future. Maybe that the future is incredibly nice, because we are going to have, at a certain moment, we should have an absolute energy, an ability to travel anywhere in space, an ability to colonize any satellite in our solar system. And maybe we've no more any kind of fitness, no more cancer, nothing else. So the future can be bright and incredible. And the young generations, but keep in mind that they are on a magical planet, which is full of beauty, and they must love it and preserve it the best as they can, with hope.
We hope you've enjoyed this program and listening to the highlights of this podcast. If you'd like to get involved in One Planet Podcast or learn more about environmental projects, click on the subscribe button. Thank you for listening.